Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
I'll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Bob Getty, Kelly Center. We're broadcasting this afternoon, Southern Bancorp Studio here in beautiful Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Election Day. I see Kelly's already voted. I'm on my way as soon as the show is over. Long lines today, Kelly.
I have lived in this area, Bob, for almost 40 years, and I have never had to wait in line to vote, which I'm glad to do. I wish, quite frankly, it happened more often, but they were out the door and around the corner, you know, so people are taking their civic responsibility, you know, to heart today, and I'm glad.
Democracy in action.
We'll see how it turns out tonight, and hopefully, you know, God's in charge.
MAGA.
Okay. And so we'll see. I just
MAGA.
And I'm it's your show. I just and I hear what you're saying.
We'll see.
And I'm with you, but yeah. I'm just uncomfortable as a journalist.
I understand.
You know.
I understand.
You want to say it one more time?
I'll let it go.
Okay.
Lee Roberts is going to be joining us later. He did the ESPN play-by-play last night of basketball. Also, Lori Watts from down in Columbia. And Kelly and I are going to be down there to kick off Columbia's big annual Christmas deal Thursday. We're delighted to be back invited again and always enjoy our time a lot with those ladies. You remember Lori, she picked games a couple of years ago based on the graphics on the uniforms, the font that they used on their jerseys.
Yeah, how cool the uniforms were. You know, if that were the case, Louisiana Monroe would still be undefeated, huh?
Right, and she beat both Kelly and I in the picks that day. It tells you how much Kelly and I know. All right, 77-68, that was the score last night, the opening of the basketball season. Nice, I thought a nice win against, I thought a good Bowling Green basketball team. And Kelly, some of the familiar names were back, but you know what kind of struck me last night are some of the new names on the team. In fact, the leading scorer, Christian Watson, is a new player out of Miami. You had Deontay Gordon from Arkansas Little Rock, who I thought looked really good. Alfred Worrell Jr., I may have mispronounced his name, from John A. Logan College. And then you had the familiar faces, but your thought, I thought the basketball team looked athletic, long, deep,
quick,
but I preface my remarks with this, and you tell me your thoughts. The success, the ability to compete for the conference championship, which the team I saw last night I think has that talent, is going to depend on the health of the two guards.
1,000%. Yeah, you see when Curbelo is on his game like he was last night, what a difference maker he can be. I really thought, and of course this is only game one, but I really thought with the reshaping of Tegra Izze to where he, you know, in the offseason he kind of reshaped his body, changed some weight work where he'd be more of a power presence inside. Really didn't see a whole lot of that last night.
Correct.
The point guards were making, you know, deep penetrations, you know, dishing off at the last minute, or going all the way to the hoop, and Alvarez and Curbelo were both fantastic. They out-rebounded. Anytime you out-rebound somebody, you've got a shot to win. And yeah. And again, it is not, Bowling Green is not a bad basketball team.
Right, right.
So I'm with you. And sometimes when Bowling Green would pull to within three, you'd think, oh boy, here we go. And then, but then the Eagles would extend it back out to 11, you know. So even though they were pushed here or there, they didn't let it rattle them and wound up, you know, winning that basketball game. It pretty much led the whole way.
Right.
So,
well, Curbelo and Alvarez are lightning quick. Man, they're quick. And And I think Curbelo, I agree with you. I mean, he's a great player. I think Alvarez, though, is the key. Having him back on the floor, I think he's just electric on the floor. But I got to tell you, you know, both of those kids play hard. And anytime Alvarez hit the floor or got jammed up, I'm thinking, don't come up limping.
And the reason why that's so important that they stay healthy is because then all of the weight doesn't fall on the shoulders of one guy.
Oh, you correct.
Know, you're expecting, you know, one guy to play the entire game at that point guard position. And as that competition gets tougher and tougher, it's just tough for any guy to go the whole game at that high speed position. So to be able to have, you know, different arrows in your quiver at that position helps a lot. But you're right, the newcomers, you know, Watson looked terrific last night. Worrell hit some big shots when he needed to. And really, we didn't even mention the fact that Izzy was in the game, but really not much of a factor as far as that goes. Yeah,
these new players, Christian Watson was 17 points, and then Deontay Gordon, 13 points. My gosh, I mean, that's what's 30 points.
And Kobe Montgomery, who's normally a three-point shooter, the guy out there you know, on that baseline hitting that corner shot, he was cold last night. So that's without really Montgomery contributing a whole lot.
He was on the floor 18 minutes, and he's a presence, man. You and I liked him a lot last year, and he'll be really good. Gordon, 30 minutes, 25 seconds. Watson, 34 minutes and 55 seconds. Other than Harris, Watson, the new kid, had the most time on the floor. It's good to see Harris back, though, isn't it?
It is, and I'm going to get a chance to talk to him hopefully on Friday and talk to him about, you know, what went through his mind to make the decision to come back to Southern Miss, because some people, their pride wouldn't let them. You know, once they go away, they go, well, right, even though I made a mistake, I can't go back because it would seem like, you know, like I was wrong. But Watson, key point here, Bob, on Watson, he's from Miami, and of course he's got that – he's got the Coach Cardona connection right there in South Florida.
Right.
And when Juan Cardona is so well connected in the South Florida area and in the Caribbean, Cuba, some of the Dominican, you know, areas, that's going to be a constant source of really good players for Southern Miss. I hope the Eagles can keep him for a while.
Five players with 10 or more points. And here's what I like. And I do get this is one game. They hit those clutch free throws late down the stretch when Bowling Green was still in the game. I mean, you know, they were fighting up to the very end, and they were with 3 or 4 or 5 points. If you don't hit those free throws, you probably get them right back in the game, but they held them off by hitting from the free throw line.
And it was about 80% Southern Miss,
I think that's
something
right,
like that. And Bowling Green only shot about 60% from the free throw line, and in close games – we've been hearing all week long that this other contest going on today is going to be really close. Well, you got to make those free throws, and the fact that the Eagles did hit 8, and that is so frustrating as a fan when you're sitting there and you can't, whoever can't make a free throw, you know.
Right.
So they're not necessarily free, but the fact that they hit 80% of them, Bowling Green only hit 60, you know, advantage Eagles there.
Yeah, Bowling Green had 10 three-pointers. They could shoot it. But I thought overall a good start. Obviously, a lot of basketball left to play. The new guys, I'm encouraged by what I saw, and just another example though of the new era of college basketball. And both teams on the floor with all these new faces, and golly, Kelly, it's just every year is going to be that way.
And that 3-point statistic that you brought up, Bob. Statistically, teams are not going to shoot that well from the 3-point line. So defensively, you got to let them have that shot. You know, if they're going to take a shot, it might as well be a 3-point shot rather than an easy layup underneath. So that could also be a testament to the good Eagle defense that the only shots that the Falcons could afford themselves were 3-point shots because nothing was open underneath. So, you know, salute the Eagle defense for that effort.
Golden Eagle shot 52.8% from the floor in the first half, 44% in the second half. So 49.2% from the floor. And 22.7% on 3 points, and like you said, 85.7% field goals. Overall, man, I mean, there's really nothing to be unhappy about opening night.
No, and again, they out-rebounded Bowling Green as well. Coach Ladner has always said you want to shoot for that 45% shooting percentage, you know, from the floor for the entire game, and they were at 48, almost 49 last night. So anytime you come up with those kind of numbers and out-rebound your opponent, you're going to have a chance to win, and that's exactly what Southern Miss did.
3,436 people in Reed Green, so a nice crowd.
It was.
Overall. Now, the ladies lose. The ladies were on the road at Bowling Green. And I apologize. I don't have the final score here in front of me. But the last I was tuned in, they were about 13 points behind.
They lost by four.
So they got it close.
Yeah, they did. They closed the gap in the fourth quarter. And they actually trailed at halftime by four. And then the Lady Falcons extended it to as many as 13. And the Lady Eagles wound up losing by four. Coach McNellis did not make that trip. And the announcers were saying that they were citing a back injury. Which we were not aware of.
Yeah. No, she was not there. That's pretty surprising.
That would be one more thing she'd have to deal with, a back injury.
Well, know that the last thing in the world Jorlee McNellis wanted was not to be with her girls on the opening night.
And I'll tell you, Malia Grayson looked terrific underneath.
She's just the perfect player.
But earlier in her career, she was more of a brawler underneath. But last night, I saw some really good finesse turnaround jumpers from the baseline.
Right.
And she is more graceful than ever before, and she's a presence underneath.
You talk about these guards on the men's team, Malia has to be on the floor for the women's team.
The entire game for them to have a chance.
We'll be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, that opening segment of the show was sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue. It is a great place to take your family for a meal anytime you like, or to cater this weekend's football game or any special occasion that you may have for the upcoming holidays. I strongly recommend Dickie's Barbecue, and I also recommend Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street. For all your Christmas shopping, if you have a Golden Eagle on your list, they've got something for everyone, from kids to guys like me and Kelly, for your car, for your home, Campus Book Mart, Hardy Street, and we appreciate all they do. Don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. Thousands of you do every month. That's where you hear us. You can pick it up on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Still to come on today's show, Lee Roberts. He did the ESPN play-by-play of last night's opening basketball game. We'll have him on the show and also take a peek at the upcoming football game, which will be Saturday against the Marshall Thundering Herd. I think it's always cool when Marshall's in town, Kelly. I like watching Marshall play football.
Unfortunately for the Eagles, Marshall's playing pretty well right now.
Yeah.
And we're going to have the radio voice of the Thundering Herd on the show tomorrow.
Our next guest was on the show one day last year, and we did picks with her, and she picked teams by the font of their uniforms, the style of their uniforms. And oddly enough, she won the picks that day. Lori Watts is the president of the Marion County Development Partnership. And for some strange reason, this wonderful, wonderful lady invites us down there every year to kick off their Christmas festival.
Lori, I had no idea that picking winners was so scientific.
Y'all are never going to let me live that down, but apparently my system is as good as anybody else's.
You're right.
A hell of a lot better than our system, Lori, that's for sure.
Yeah, point spreads, offenses, defenses,
yeah. What's the font on that number?
It's all in the font.
Yeah.
All
the font. Not the uniform now, the font on the uniform.
Yeah, the style of letters, right?
And she won. That's terrible. Well, Lori, it's always a great pleasure to have you on our show. And Kelly and I are both very excited about coming. We've got a two-hour show from your place Thursday, special edition of the Eagle Hour, because we want to help kick off this great celebration that all of us enjoy every year in Columbia. And it's going to be open house Friday and Saturday. So before we get into the details of the show Thursday, talk a little bit about the open house and what people all through the Pine Belt can experience this weekend.
So this weekend, on Friday, November 8th from 5 to 9, and Saturday, November 9th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., there are about 25 different boutiques, gift shops, restaurants, coffee shops, other businesses that are holding and hosting our Columbia Holiday Open House activities. And so it's a time for people to take advantage of some extended shopping hours at a time when they may not be able to make it to Columbia, and some on a weekday. They can come on Friday night or Saturday and see some of the great businesses and shopping spots that Columbia has to offer.
All right, that's kind of the official kickoff of the Christmas season, am I correct, in your beautiful little town?
That's exactly right. The Holiday Open House has been going on for many, many years. It's very merchant-driven. It was started by merchants who just got together and said, we want to host something to show appreciation to our customers, and so others have jumped on board, and we're promoting it as a community-wide event now. So it's a great way to kick off your Christmas shopping and get your spirits ready for the Christmas season. And it'll be followed by the end of November. We'll have our Christmas parade coming up November 30th, and then events every weekend during December.
Downtown will be lit up, and it'll be just festive as it can be again this year, correct?
Exactly. We have our lights and the music, and are planning multiple events to take place in the downtown area. The lights and the music will be on every night, as usual, and then Friday and Saturday nights we'll have something special happening in the downtown area, and maybe in some other areas of town as well. We're still working on some plans and trying to plug that in. We'll be keeping everybody up to date on our visitcolumbiams.com website and our Facebook pages.
Well, Lori, full confession, it's not just the streets of Columbia that are lit during the holiday season. I've been down there a couple of times during the holidays where I've been lit myself a couple of times.
Well, you know, that's your personal information, Kelly.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, with all due respect to all other, you know, communities who usually have some type of Christmas-type goings-on, Columbia does it, I'm especially right. When you guys go plan this every, what can you put your finger on that makes Columbia's, well, quite frankly, better than a lot of other places around?
No question.
Well, thanks. We appreciate that. You know, it has a lot to do with the fact that Columbia as a community just has a real spirit of giving. And in fact, one of our holiday weekends is going to be focused. We're going to call it our Spirit Saturdays. December 14th is our Spirit of Charity, and we're going to be focusing on multiple charitable events in the downtown area where different nonprofits will be hosting various events so that people have an opportunity to give to them during this season.
And it's not just for people in Columbia. You have thousands of people that come from all over every year, don't you?
Absolutely. We love for our neighboring cities, for the folks who are close by, to come and visit with us and shop with us all around the state. We do have a beautiful little downtown, and we have some great shops, some new shops this year. In fact, our open house is going to be opening day for one of our newest shops. It's a vendor's market, a Southern Collective vendor's market, and their opening day is going to be during our open house. So new businesses in the downtown area and across the city. This is not just in the downtown area. Our open house is all across the city.
Lori, off the top of your head, do you know who has come the farthest, or from where is the farthest person that's ever come to the Christmas time down in Columbia that you know of?
Well, that we know of, we've had visitors from London. We've had visitors from Alaska. We've had, so that's pretty far.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I was thinking maybe Waynesboro, but that's, you know, that's.
Well, how can you explain the continued success of your festival every year, despite the fact that every year you invite Kelly and I there?
I think that's the same. It's the same explanation for those fonts on those uniforms. I think it's just something that it's just sort of a
oddity.
Oddity, exactly. That's a great way to describe you and Kelly.
Yes.
Yeah, that may be the best description I've ever heard of me and Kelly, actually. Oddities.
A politically correct way.
All right, Lori. Well, we're coming, like it or not. We're coming Thursday.
We're looking forward to it. We love to have you guys.
And we're going to be there from 1 to 3 o'clock. We really look forward to it. We always love. I told you earlier this year, that's what begins to get me in the Christmas spirit every year is when I hear from you and when I talk to you. So, we're looking forward to it, and you know, we'll be there Thursday, and look forward to having you on the show with us a couple times.
And it's really getting to be more and more of a tradition. You know, go get the tree, and hey, when are we going to Columbia this year?
I think that's It's going to be a great year.
We love that. We like to be part of people's traditions.
There we go. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you Thursday, Lori. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right,
bye.
Lori Watts, who is the president of the Marion County Development. Oddities. Now that's pretty good, I'll have to say. We're oddities.
Yeah, I was somewhere one night and somebody looked at my outfit and they said, I'm trying to find a word that describes best what you're wearing tonight. And they said, I've got it. Affordable.
There you go. Hey, real quick before we hit the break, Malia had how many points left?
24.
24.
Yeah, Malia Grayson had a great game. 71-67, the final score. Unfortunately, Bowling Green won it. Now, the way this MAC Sunbelt Challenge works, of course, it's now the men, Southern Miss hosted, so they'll go on the road in February when the women will get to be at home later on in February as part of that MAC.
Yeah.
Sunbelt Challenge.
Some new faces on the women's team, too. And Malia's going to have to carry the load. I don't think there's any question about that. And they got to find somebody that can also come in and help her, Kelly, or you know what they're going to do to Malia. They're going to double and triple team her and try to get her in foul trouble.
And one of the players that came in here was Kentucky Player of the Year, you know, the last couple of years, and she started as a freshman. So, and I'm sure that was one of the reasons that she came to Southern Miss was the opportunity to start in a Division I Sunbelt program as a freshman, you know, not have to wait her turn. Morgan Sieper, you know, got some
Morgan Sieper.
Yeah.
Who's a big Tom Brady fan. Do you remember that?
Well,
she said that Tom Brady and Gronk, her two favorite athletes of all time.
Well, see, I used to think so highly of Morgan, and now her stock just plummeted after that. Oh, well, can't have
it. Lee Roberts did the play-by-play of the men's game last night. We'll get his observations, and also take a peek at the upcoming football showdown with the Marshall Thundering Herd. We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I want to thank Lori Watts for joining us. We are happy to be going down there Thursday. She and Carolyn Burton are two of the finest ladies we've ever met. And, boy, they do it right down there, Kelly. They get into Christmas down in Columbia for sure. All right, this segment is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, where you can get a great lunch 5 days a week, great meal any night, and the big game is always on the air. Also want to thank Mobe Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg, for their sponsorship of our show, and encourage you to check out the Mobe Facebook page and check out all the wonderful desserts. Lee Roberts is a great friend of Kelly and I both. We love having him on the show. He's a regular, of course, and did the play-by-play for ESPN Plus last night of the men's basketball game against the Bowling Green. We were talking off the air, Lee. I think you agree with us. You know, this team looked athletic, long, talented, and kind of an exciting start. But you were right there on the floor. How'd they look to you right there?
Man, I really agree with what you said. I think we're very athletic. I think we have some guys that can move the ball. I think we've got some guys that can get up and down the court. And we have some shooters as well. I think we end up hitting a few threes last night, which we haven't had outside of Crowley last year and maybe Pinckney the year before. Haven't really had that guy to kind of knock down some threes. But, you know, we saw a couple threes made last night. I was glad to see Alvarez get in the action. Gordon was able to hit a three as well. Christian Watson. So, I mean, I think that'll be the area where they'll continue to improve. But, man, two healthy guards in a backcourt with Alvarez and Corbello, I think that's just a huge upside. And then, yeah, you add in some of those new guys, like I said, like Watson and Gordon, getting Denaji Harris back. He's a guy that's improved his game. I think this team has a lot of potential if they can stay healthy and stay focused. It ought to be a fun year.
We thought, though, Lee, going into the season, and again, one game, but with Tegra Eze kind of reshaping his body, you know, putting on some weight and adding some muscle and becoming more of a presence inside, I expected to see the Eagles have more presence inside. But last night, it just didn't really present itself that he wasn't necessarily needed underneath there to bolster much.
Yeah, Tegra, he played about 10 minutes, I guess, but didn't attempt a shot.
He didn't
come up with a rebound. Really, really non-existent. I think he will be a guy that you see in the lineup, you know, according to who we play. Maybe a team's got a big guy that we need to put this big 7-footer on. But, man, last night I was really pleased with the guys that we had on the floor. And, yeah, so if Tegra's a guy that we can add to it, and, you know, another guy's Worrell, Alfred Worrell, didn't get a ton of playing time. You know, but those guys are just going to be kind of the addition to this team that this team needs to take us really, really far.
Yeah, it looks like to me that, you know, you got some depth up front that maybe you didn't have last year, although they didn't play a lot of players. Now, that is one thing. But
yeah, maybe depth up front, but maybe not enough depth overall, Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we played 9 players or 8 players last night, but the majority of the time was from the starters. And then you add in Kobe Montgomery. Worrell, like I said, played a few minutes. Izzy came in, gave 10 minutes of action. And, I felt like when we had some foul trouble early, you might would have seen like a Jeff Armstrong come in to give Corbello a little bit of a breather. We didn't see Armstrong, but he's a guy I think that will he's a guy that just – if he's guarding the ball, he's just a nuisance. He's quick. He's got good defense. So he's a guy we'll see down the road as well. But I really liked what we had. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think your top five not going to get much better than that in the conference.
You're right, too, Lee. They all 5 starters, the fewest minutes any of them had was Gordon at 30 minutes and 25 seconds. So all 5 guys played over 30 minutes in the basketball game.
Yeah, and they just really had a rhythm. And maybe that was kind of Coach Ladner's plan last night, just saying, hey, we're going to put these starting 5 out there and let them go and let them gel and see what they can do. I don't think you can sustain that all season long. But last night, maybe that was just a big way to get the season started. It was a big game. I mean, Bowling Green was a good team that did a lot of great things last year. They brought in 10 transfers this year, or 10 newcomers, rather, this year. And I knew Coach Ladner had a plan, and maybe that was just his plan to really get those starting 5 a lot of minutes. He did indeed. That's what they were able to do, all 5 of them over 30 minutes.
You know, I think who really set the bar high for themselves going forward is Christian Watson.
Oh, no question.
I mean, I think that he was the biggest surprise of the night, I think. Lee, just, you know, listening to people in the crowd and talk that nobody had really heard or seen of Christian Watson. But if he continues to play, and again, it's just one game, but if he continues to play like that, man, holy cow, what an addition.
No, I agree. I mean, really big presence inside. He, had a lot of points in the paint. He is able to shoot outside as well. Had 17 points on the night. And, yeah, he's talented. He's a guy that's got some length. He's got some jumping ability. He's going to be fun to watch. So you're right, a very nice surprise. But again, having a guy like that on the team that just continue to make you better.
Plus Deontay Gordon, the kid that transferred in from Arkansas Little Rock, which, by the way, having lived in the Delta a long time, they play pretty competitive basketball at Arkansas Little Rock. So, I mean, that he comes from a good program, and he put up 13 points as well. So, overall, I thought a really good night. All right, we want to double dip on you while we got you here today. You're going to switch gears Saturday and do the color analyst, be the color analyst for football. And the Marshall Thundering Herd come into town, and Lee is a guy that played college football at a very high level. I mean, and I want to be careful how I say this. Is the football team just trying to play out the season? I mean, what is the mentality, you think, of the football team, not coaches, but the team, in light of the circumstance that they're currently faced with?
Well, I'll just say this. If I was in their shoes, I wouldn't just play out the season. And I hope that's not what they're going to do, and I don't think that's what they're going to do. I think you'll see a team that knows they have two home games left, two road games left. They're coming off a bye week. You know, the back half of this season, you know, regardless of what their status is next year, whether the new coach decides to keep them or has them transfer, whatever it is, you want to see these guys go out and compete. And I think that's what you'll do. And, you know, obviously I love Reed Stringer. I think he'll do a phenomenal job these next four games getting these guys prepared. And, you know, so I believe the heart of these guys and this team is they want to finish well. And, mm-hmm. Again, we've had some very misfortunate things happen throughout this season. Some things that happened in games we just weren't able to overcome, and it just kind of seems like that's where we are. We're close here, we're close there. But I think these guys can come out and try to pick up a couple wins and really feel good about themselves to finish this year.
I hope so.
Unfortunately, you've got probably one of the hotter teams in the league,
Marshall,
coming in here. At the beginning of the year, nobody, you know, everybody thought Marshall would be a middle of the pack team in the East, Lee, and they're still very much alive in winning the East crown. So they certainly don't want to stub their toe coming in here to Hattiesburg this weekend.
No, I mean, obviously they're not looking past us. I mean, they know the history, that the tradition that Southern Miss has, and you know, playing at home obviously should give Southern Miss a little bit of an advantage. But yeah, this is a Marshall team, and again, just shows you never know in the Sun Belt who's really going to show up. I mean, Marshall's a team that has had a lot of success in the past, and you know, having success this year as well. And yeah, they want to come in and make a statement and try to finish their season as well, especially this back half. So, but look for Southern Miss to really come out and play hard and really try to put four quarters together.
I want to ask you this before we run out of time, and I want to ask you about Will Hall. Now that the dust has kind of settled and Coach Hall's not on the scene anymore, you know, I thought back over the weekend to the 4 years that we were associated with him through this show and how kind he was to us and how open he was and always available and how hard he worked at it, Lee. And I don't think anybody could have put in more heart and effort than Will Hall put into this program. He really put his heart and soul into it. And I think that's how fans should remember Will Hall, as a guy that came in here and did everything that he possibly could to help improve the Southern Miss football program. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I mean, he was the guy that the fan base wanted, you know, when he came here with Tulane and put up 60 something points on us on our home turf. They were that was the name that they were screaming out. They wanted Will Hall, and obviously Jeremy did his research and brought him in, and yeah, he checked all the boxes, everything right. And I think he did everything right as well, except just things just didn't happen our way on the field. And I love Will Hall, and I think you ask any one of those players, they all love Will Hall as well. And you know, deep down, I think that's what the fans will remember, is the coach that came in and really built these young men into men and really got academics back on the right track. And, hey, the next coach that comes in here, I think he'll have an opportunity to pick up and go win some games, because I think these guys are talented and they're well coached, and it's just a matter of the production on the field. But, yeah, I hope Will Hall is definitely remembered as a great man, a great coach, and really – doing some great things for Southern Miss.
In covering Southern Miss, Bob, for 40 years, like you and I have, it is still the biggest quandary that I have come across in Southern Miss athletics as to why this didn't work.
No.
I mean, even now that Coach Hall is gone.
Lee's right. He checked every box.
It just He didn't work
really hard, and it just didn't work out. Well, Lee, we really appreciate you, man. I guess we'll keep bugging you every week now that you're doing the play-by-play for basketball. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, let's keep talking. I absolutely love having a conversation with you guys. Love talking Southern Miss Athletics, so we'll definitely keep that going. And, hey, just a quick plug for the Hall of Fame induction on Friday night. Our own Luke Johnson's getting inducted.
There we go.
Among others. So really good class. Looking forward to that Friday
night. Have to call him Mr. Johnson now. He let
Dr. Johnson.
Yeah.
All right, Lee. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, appreciate you guys.
Lee Roberts, everybody. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
And we're sure glad you are. We appreciate you listening to our program every day. Want to remind you about Enda Bay Springs Water Company. Mississippi owned and operated Enda Bay Spring Water is natural spring water. And they get it in Stone County, Mississippi. It's premium water. Nothing stripped, nothing added to the water. It's very fresh, very delicious. It's now available at corner markets and certain Walmarts. Be sure you keep your eye out for India Bay Spring Water. That is a Mississippi company, and we love doing business with folks from Mississippi. Also want to thank Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest vehicles on the road today, and their new showroom is state-of-the-art. It's on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And, of course, want to thank DBAT for sponsoring this segment of the show right there on Hardy Street. Great baseball, softball training for really everybody of every age, and a great place to do some Christmas shopping if you got a little ball player in your family. They got a really cool pro shop at DBAT and a lot of good Christmas gift ideas. Kelly?
Well, we got college football tonight. The Bowling Green Falcons, of course, were in here last night in basketball. And one of the reasons that their play-by-play voice wasn't in Hattiesburg last night.
He was doing that game.
Yeah, he was getting ready to do a game tonight, actually, against Central Michigan. Bowling Green against the Central Michigan Chippewas, one of the games on the schedule tonight. Miami of Ohio also playing at Ball State. All of those games in the MAC. So yeah. MACtion on a Tuesday night. And the Kansas City Chiefs, once again, get a victory at home, believe it or not, on a Monday night, and get away with two or three calls that should have been called that weren't. Amazing.
Couldn't be.
Yeah. What are the odds?
And
right?
The Bucks never got to touch the football in overtime, did they?
That they did not. And one of the names, Bob, listed as a potential head coach for the New Orleans Saints, we called it here yesterday, Todd Monken.
Well, that would be exciting.
Is on that list. Ben Johnson, who's the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, is at the top of that list, but right underneath him, Todd Monken. So we'll see.
Well, they're not allowed to really talk to those guys while the season is underway, are they?
You know, I'm not sure how the NFL does.
It seems that would be tampering almost.
And both of those, both of those teams are most likely going to, the Lions most certainly will be in the playoffs, and you would certainly think that the Ravens are going to get in there as well. Sure. The Ravens have one of the top offenses in the entire NFL, so we'll see.
All right, Marshall's in town this weekend. We've got their play-by-play guy tomorrow.
Yeah, Steve Cotton's going to join us talking about that's another good story coming out of Marshall. Charles Huff, the head coach there, was on the hot seat kind of when the season began, and nobody really expected much out of Marshall. And playing really good football right now, much to the dismay of Southern Miss. And remember, Saturday's game is a 2 o'clock start, Bob. All the games have been 6 o'clock up until now. But with just two home games left, this coming Saturday's game scheduled for 2 p.m. is the kickoff.
And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but, there's tropical weather moving into the Gulf of Mexico, and right now there is a 60% chance of periodic and sometimes heavy thunderstorms Saturday, so we'll just have to see. However, as I continue to look at this, it seems like maybe it's going to be 5 or 6 o'clock before the weather gets in here. So it's a little early to say.
And maybe that would help the 2 o'clock situation. But, you know, even if the weather is bad, that's good news for Southern Miss. That would just equalize things out, I would think, a little bit. But correct. Marshall playing really well right now. Georgia Southern, according to Vegas, is the favorite to win the East, and Louisiana still rocking and rolling in the West. The final home games for Southern Miss, of course, Marshall, and then 2 weeks later against South Al, and then the two road games that they have left at Texas State, and then the final game of the year against Troy, who is starting to play much better football. Mm. So,
you see an easy weekend there, Kelly?
No, I sure don't. And you remember when Vegas came out at the beginning of the year, and we kind of joked about the guys in Vegas better get the number right? Mm-hmm. Capiche? Mm-hmm. I mean, and they had Southern Miss listed at 3 wins. You know, so you had to bet the under over, and we were insulted by that, yeah. You know, at the time. Thinking sure, and I picked them to go 6-6 this yeah. year based on anyway. They don't want to beat that dead horse, but no easy games coming up either for Southern Miss.
All right, so believe it or not, we got a month of football left. Basketball is officially underway. Men win, ladies lose, and we have confirmed, and we don't have any details, and obviously it's private, but we have confirmed that Coach McNellis injured her back, and that is the reason she was not on the trip with the ladies last night. So it has nothing to do with the cancer that she's been fighting. As far as I know, and the last time I talked to her was just a couple of weeks ago, she told me she felt really good. It just breaks my heart. I mean, she's just dealt with so many issues.
And the thing about her, though, is you'd never know.
No, you'd never
know. You'd never know that she's been dealing with all
that.
What
a great lady and just such a warrior.
And you would think, okay, she's had enough now. You can stop.
give her a break.
Right.
Let her have a break. But if anybody can deal with it, anybody can handle it, it'll be Coach Jordan.
She's tough as a $2 steak. There's no
question about that.
So
it's all right, we look forward to talking to Mr. Cotton tomorrow about Marshall football. That's always a very interesting program. Again, we'll be on the road Thursday in Columbia.
And then we're going to be on the road Monday, too, Bob,
Monday,
right?
Yeah, absolutely right. Veterans Day celebration, Camp Shelby. I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be on Veterans Day than that. All right, hope you'll join us again tomorrow, and we're sure grateful that you did today. Until next time, Southern Miss.
To the top. Slipping into the future. Slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.